This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, that one of the sides has been essentially wiped out, but nobody knows who the other side is. But I do. You know who it is? Turkey. Okay? Turkey's the one behind it. He's a very smart guy. They've wanted it for thousands of years, and he got it. And those people that went in are controlled by Turkey. And that's okay. It's another way to fight. But no, I don't think that I want to have our soldiers killed. But I don't think that will happen now anyway, because the one side's been decimated.
Well, President Trump in his marathon press conference yesterday was talking a bit about Syria, Assad, and I think that from when I said I hear all these names and in one way, shape or form over the last 30 years of my life, they all sound spooky and I don't know the details of what's going on. And we hear about Bashar al-Assad's fall from power and we wonder what's next for that region of the world. And then you pair with it the Joe Biden administration on the way out, the Donald Trump administration back on the way in. What happens with this region of the world? That's why we have experts on the Annie Fry Show, because I certainly don't have the answers, but I do have a lot of the questions. Jim Carafano back with us, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, Merry Christmas. Welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
I just want to tell you how smart I really am. I could have literally predicted the words that would come out of Donald Trump's mouth.
Really?
So there you go. On this issue, absolutely, totally.
Well,
good
say,
for me.
This is good for you, absolutely. Good for us that we get to speak to you about it. Tell us what's going on in Syria and how does America tie in potentially or not tie in to what happens next?
Well, the U.S. has never had a vital interest in Syria. It's been a vital interest for the Russians because it is a warm water port into the Med. It's been a vital interest for the Iranians because it is a logistics pipeline to get stuff to Hezbollah in Lebanon to threaten Israel. It is a mega attraction for transnational criminals, to everything from drug trafficking to human trafficking. But from America, it's not really been. So we've had a presence there that was largely driven by the explosion of ISIS. Trump kind of inherited that from Obama, because we were in there killing ISIS. We stayed and we still stay because it was an efficient way to kill ISIS. And what Trump did is anybody that messed with our guy, the Americans, we just killed them. And so people kind of left us alone. Now, it is true that we did partner with a Kurdish separatist element, which is actually the enemy of the church, has actually created animosity between the two sides. But let's be clear, these guys were never the good guys. You know, when people say Kurds, there's Kurdish communities spread throughout the Middle East. The ones in Syria, they're not choir boys. And I personally, just me, Jim Carafano, was always uncomfortable with this relationship because you're partnering with people who really are not necessarily what you would want for the future of Syria. So Syria is a mess. There are two countries which have a lot more interest in Syria than the United States that are actually allies of the United States. One is Turkey, which I'm actually quite sympathetic with Turkey's interest in ensuring that Syria is not a platform for terrorism against Turkey or from the Kurds in Syria. And the other is Israel, because Israel, of course, does not want Syria to be a platform for Iran to threaten the country. And you know, nobody likes the transnational crime. Nobody likes the refugees or the use of chemical weapons and that kind of stuff. So here's what I would watch for is if Turkey and Israel come to an understanding on their interest in Syria, that's kind of the best case scenario for the United States. Turkey feels like its interests are protected. The Israelis feel like their interests are protected. They're not killing each other over this. Then the U.S. should be happy.
When we hear, you know, civilian people, I feel like a lot of this stuff is sometimes intended to scare voters into voting a certain way. And we're on the other side of an election right now. And I always have to remind myself that our way of life, that's never going to be instilled into these other places who have complete and total cultural differences than we do. Everything is culturally different. And so you can't have an expectation that is only based on our own perspective here in America. So we hear about the fighting. We hear about the terrorism. I wrote down Taliban, ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah. These are just four names off the top of my head that I can think of that have been associated with terrorism in my lifetime. Since I've been paying attention since 9/11, and it seems like they're always just taking over for the other one. And when you hear that the new one's taking over, I'm like, well, I thought that they were the bad guys as well. So I just sit here and I'm like, I don't really know what to think about any of it.
I don't really care who they are. I mean, I care about Kurds. I mean, the U.S., but we don't care about the Kurds in Syria. But the Kurds that we care about are the ones in Iraq. Kurdistan in Iraq is very pro-American. It is a stable force. It is a bloc against Iran. It is not a threat to the Turks. Those guys are fine. We care about those guys. We care about Christians. And I often have people say, oh, but Christians are going to be persecuted. Well, the reality is the Christians that were living under Assad in Syria, it is true that they were not persecuted by Assad. That's true. And they might be persecuted now. That's true. But the reason why they weren't persecuted by Assad is because they were supporting an odious regime that was committing genocide. So, you know, I have all the sympathy in the world and love for Christians, and I'd love for them to be protected and have religious liberty wherever they go. But this community was complicit in a regime which was killing its own people. So I'm not like, you know, I'm not unsympathetic to their problem, but I'm also like, our job is not to protect the Christian community in Syria. You know, they should have thought of that when they signed up with the Assad regime a long time ago. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Jim Carafano speaking with us right now at the Heritage Foundation. Like one of the things that I can think of coming up being a story was when we pulled out of Afghanistan, my recollection is that the Taliban took back over. And then, of course, my memory of the Taliban from the early 2000s, just coming into this understanding of even the word terrorism and all of these different organizations in the Middle East. How does the Donald Trump administration come in and react when he talks about Afghanistan? He talks about it as being such a heinous, horrible thing that America did. I think a lot of us agree with that, of course.
Right.
What happens with Donald Trump now that he comes in? What's done is done. How does he address these different areas in a way that might be very different than Biden?
Well, I think the number one issue in a lot of these areas where, again, the United States does not have a vital interest, is terrorism. I think, you know, we've kind of all forgotten about terrorism the last, you know, 10 years. But the reality is there's lots of gaps and spaces for terrorism to come back, particularly because We've seen this explosion of the global intifada in the last few years. So all this protesting against Israel and demonization of Israel and Jews and everything, this has got to be inspiring and motivating for Islamist terrorists all over the world. We've had an open border for 4 years. We have adversarial countries in Latin America that have access to the United States. We have troubled places like Afghanistan and Syria and several others. We have to get serious about terrorism again because it could come back on the platter. So, you know, you don't want to be surprised. So you don't want to go into these countries and these different parts of the world, whether it's the Sahel in North Africa or Afghanistan or Syria, and start messing around doing regime change or nation building, because that's a bottomless hole. But you want to have situation awareness. So you don't want problems coming out of these places that come at you. And if there are people that have come in the United States, you want to get them. But this is like the drone thing, right? And people are freaked out about the drones. Well, you know, if we had spent the last 4 years focusing on protecting Americans from adversarial threats and not, you know, chasing, you know, raiding the President Trump's house in Mar-a-Lago, or, you know, monitoring Christians in school board meetings, you know, or being providing concierge service for illegal aliens coming to the United States. If we actually spent our time and effort focused on those things like we were supposed to after 9/11, we wouldn't have the problems that we have today. So I just like the government to get back to the day job.
Yeah.
And I feel pretty confident under this team that it will.
Jim, I'm glad you brought up the drones, because I was definitely going to ask you that. And I was going to gauge your like, meh, or this is a great deal of panic in response to how a lot of civilians, certainly in New Jersey, New York, other places where they've been seen. We haven't seen them over the Midwest here recently, but we all remember the Chinese balloon that everybody was like,
right,
we have no idea what this is, until we're like, let's shoot it down in the Atlantic after it traversed the whole country. What do you make of what's going on in New Jersey?
Well, that's the issue. We don't know what to make of it. You know, I wrote about this 15 years ago when I said, look, we are coming into an age when drone use throughout the world is going to be quite common. It's going to provide enormous economic benefits, all kinds of new opportunity, but it's going to come with risks. And we need to be able to ensure the sovereignty of our airspace, whether it's from a balloon or a Russian MiG or a drone. And, you know, honestly, the last 4 years, you know, I'm okay. I'm with you. Like 15 years ago, if you looked at CARAFAL and said, we know what you're talking about, fine. But in the last 5 years, it is completely obvious about the complexity of the drone environment and how seriously we take it. And we have a government that has done nothing. So, you could see this day coming, right? We would like, the old thing is like the guy that was looking for his keys and the cop says, what are you doing? He says, I'm looking for my car keys. The guy goes, well, where's your car? He goes, it's down the street. He goes, well, are you looking for your keys over here? He goes, well, this is where the street light is. You know, it's like if the light is shining on a problem, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you're ignoring it. I mean, please, come on.
Yeah. You know, I think, Jim, I have two dramatic thoughts, dramatically separated thoughts on the whole drone thing. One is, I sure as heck hope that our government and the contractors that they work with have technology way beyond my imagination that I don't know about, don't need to know about, because if I know about it, everybody knows about it. And I would like to just trust that to be so. But on the other hand, I don't trust the government to always put the American interest at the center of what it is they're doing. And watching John Kirby come out, and whenever John Kirby comes out, Brad was saying here earlier that when John Kirby comes out, you know that they're really committed to getting the narrative and the message straight. They're giving it to him. What do you think of how they've kind of tried to explain this away, in many cases made people have more questions?
Well, I mean, this is the problem. When you say something, wish-wash, like, well, we don't see a threat. But that doesn't mean there is no threat. It doesn't mean anything. It's a completely meaningless statement. The answer is do we have the technical capacity to ensure sovereignty over American airspace and actually expand the use of commercial drones inside the United States? The answer is, yeah, you bet. And can we do that in a way which safeguards Americans' freedom and liberties, allows the economy to grow and deal? Yes, Of course we, you know, this is the thing about, like, after 9/11, people say we have a choice. We can either lock down the country or you can die from terrorists. And the answer was, of course we can do, we don't have to take that choice. We can have a secure nation and we can have all our freedoms. And this is not alien space invaders, we don't think. these are technical solutions that are actually at hand. And if we had been thoughtfully keeping up with the progress of this in our country, we would be, now I know there's no do-overs, right? Because you can't go back. But can we address this issue in a responsible way? The answer is absolutely. What does it take? Well, it takes a government that actually focuses on the day job. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what we make of it. And sometimes I feel like these stories are distractions, but they just keep making the question seem.
No, this is not a distraction. What this is a cautionary tale. This is like, you know, when the guy blew up the bomb under the World Trade Center, and we all just like, oh, well, those guys are idiots, right? That was a cautionary tale. That they're going to come after your infrastructure and your stuff. This is a cautionary tale. Somebody is going to do this. Someday somebody is going to use adversarial use of drones inside the United States, and they're going to try and kill people. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. And we were just warned to get ready for this. And if we don't deal with this issue, if we just wash it away and say, okay, yeah, well, that was just people just being freaking out and they know what they're doing, then we're going to, we have nobody to blame when people die except ourselves.
34 days until the inauguration. I'm just counting the days.
Not
literally.
That I'm counting. Yep. Don't even doubt it. All right.
Jim, thank you. We appreciate you. Merry Christmas.
All right. You too, my friend.
Take care. Bye-bye. Jim Carafano is senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation, our friend here on the Annie Frye Show. We're going to take a quick break. Ryan back in studio. We're rescheduling with Jeff Thompson, who was going to talk to us about drones. We're going to get to him a little bit later in the week, I think. So come back. We're going to hit some other topics here in front of us. One of the things that I do want to talk about just for a minute here is what we do know from that school shooting yesterday. We'll just touch on it a little bit. There are details that are out today that we didn't have yesterday. Just another really sad, tragic story. And we'll just give you the details on that when we return. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let it be Christmas.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us this Tuesday afternoon. You said it earlier, 1 week to Christmas Eve. Doesn't that seem like it got here fast? It does to me.
Yeah, it does.
It always does.
It always does, but this year, I think partially because it's been a lot warmer, a lot later, it just seems like it snuck up quicker.
I genuinely, this is something I would say here, but maybe not in like my personal life and personal conversation, but I genuinely have not felt the rushed hustle and bustle, the kind of, I don't know if I'm going to say negative, but the more stressful side of Christmas.
I haven't either.
It's, I hand the God.
Yeah.
It's because Donald Trump won the election.
Really?
Oh, completely. Every time I think about that, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Seriously. There's so much relief. On this side of the election, I just saw a picture on Fox News they put up there. It had Kamala Harris's face, and it said 2028, and I was just thinking, oh, my God.
Please.
Okay.
I hate to do a John Oliver here, but yes, please.
Yeah, don't be in the montage.
Yeah.
Don't end up in the 2028 montage. I just feel so much relief and hope for what's going to come next, and I have a very close memory of what it felt like in 2020. And, you know, Joe Biden won. And then we spent November and December up to January 6th watching. I mean, Donald Trump was not comforting in that amount of time. It was not comforting to watch anything that was taking place there.
No, it was so confusing, too.
Georgia had two Senate runoff seats, and the weight and the balance of the future of the country in the majority of the Senate. Joe Biden, if Joe Biden wins the election, but the Republicans have the majority of the Senate, dramatic difference.
Mm-hmm.
Just needed to win one of those seats. We lose them both. And I always remind people, we lost those races. Those races took place on January 5th, which I think is such important context to what took place on January 6th. It was just very depressing to go through. And this year, I feel the complete converse of that. And I know that my friends who voted for Kamala Harris and hate Donald Trump, it's the opposite for them. I know that they felt great joy in defeating Donald Trump in 2020. And this year, there's probably some despair there. But I don't really know anybody in my life who for real, is in some level of despair at this point over the election.
I feel the same way, that in 2020, I knew, and maybe I was one of those people who was just like despondent. What the heck just happened? What is this next 4 years going to look like? And then we have seen what this next 4 years is going to look like. I don't know any Democrats right now who are beside themselves.
Completely forlorn.
They can't believe the country is going to burn down over the next 4 years. And I'm sure those people exist. I know that those people exist. I just, in my bubble, in my circle, I don't know any of them.
Always confronted with them on the internet. But I think it's always really important to see, like, what percentage of these people do you see on the internet versus what percentage you see in real life? Which is why I'm always, always, always stressing. If you look at the people, if you look at the media pundits who might be losing their minds, Joy Reid comes to mind. Joy Behar comes to mind. Even Whoopi Goldberg is like, hey, guys, don't forget to enjoy your families this Christmas season. Mm-hmm. Good for her. And Sonny Hassan's like, or no, it was Anna Navarro was like, that's an irresponsible statement, Whoopi Goldberg. And I'm going, shut up. Like, just stop. You do not have to have a political affiliation to enjoy the people who are in your family during the Christmas, holiday, Hanukkah, whatever it is season. Like, enjoy present company. The whole country, the whole culture would be better off if we would prioritize people over politics and get back to the place where maybe sometimes those conversations come up. But they don't. Just watching the people who lost this election, who are the Kamala supporters, but probably more so the Trump haters, very aggressively tell you to cut those people, anybody who supported Trump, out of your life. I literally can't remember a single time in 2020 where Trump people were like, in your personal life, if you have somebody who voted for Biden, you need to 100% go, what's the phrase? No contact. Disassociate from them completely. It wasn't about that. It wasn't on such a personal granular level that would disrupt your familial relationships or your close friendships. But that's a key right now.
let's just talk practically for a second, too. I've seen those same videos of the people online who are freaking out going, I can't believe Donald Trump. I can't believe my dad voted for Donald Trump. I can't believe now I don't have a dad. You know, these ridiculous videos. Practically speaking, where was that person for the last 8 years? That they just now decided that that's so important that they cut these people. Wouldn't have already happened in the past? Wouldn't have happened on your sanctimonious January 6th that you keep love to put up and say this was the worst day in American history? Like, why is it now that that suddenly happened?
When Donald Trump gets into office, and I think that he is going to pardon a large amount of J6ers immediately. And I kind of think that, like, if he's going to do it, he should do it immediately. Like, do it, get it done, and move on with the business of things. And if you do it while you're writing 25 other executive orders, it's going to be something to talk about. It's going to be something that the left-leaning media is going to key in on and focus in on, certainly. But if they want to key in on that and not talk about all of the energy investments that we're going to make and opening pipelines and, working on getting all of these hyper regulations from the Joe Biden green sect of government out of the way so that government can start doing the thing that government is intended to do, like finishing building the border wall and not being in the business of policing every nook and cranny they can of small business in this country. If they want to spend the whole time talking about J6 pardons, they're going to miss a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Day one's going to be interesting to cover. You know, we're all going to be here.
Yeah.
Covering it, even though it's Martin Luther King Day. We get the day off. We all said, nope, let's come in.
Let's be here.
That's going to be Inauguration Day. I think we're starting coverage early that day just to make sure we're on top of everything.
Well, the swearing in is at 11 a.m. So I think we're waiting to see what Fox News, we are the Fox News radio affiliate in St. Louis, and we're very proud to be able to say that. We're going to wait and see what they offer. I don't think that that's been determined yet. Probably will come out after the holiday, but we'll wait and see what they're going to offer. But we want to make sure that we're covering the swearing in. But after the swearing in, which would be traditionally our show being noon to 3 Central, stuff's going to go. I think the pen starts. Yes. He's not going to spend. I mean, there might be some formalities around it, but they're talking about day one being dramatic. And I heard them say, and I can't remember who said it specifically, if it wasn't Trump specifically, but from the administration say that they have 25 executive orders slated for day one.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot to cover. And we'll be here. The thing is, though, that that's the business of the actual governing that we elected Donald Trump to. But when there's a swearing in, usually it's pomp and circumstance. It's hail to the chief. You're hearing a lot of patriotic stuff. It's fun, especially if your side won. You're enjoying it. But there's not a lot of news. But when it's Donald Trump, I always say, I think back to 2016 thinking, oh, we're just going to watch this swearing in and it's just going to be normal. Donald Trump surprises you when he speaks. He's going to give a speech. I can't wait to hear that speech because he will outline exactly what he's going to do. And then for 4 years, we will watch him do exactly what he says in that speech.
And I don't even think, it depends on how specific he is, because I would think that the Trump administration would think we've got 100 days to knock out 60% plus. Anything that they can do by executive order, anything that they can do with a majority of Republicans, teeny tiny majority of Republicans in the House. I mean, if you can get all the House members on board, and I don't think it's unlikely to assume that there will be a Democrat here and there in the House that will go the way of things that Donald Trump wants. Even the blue districts, even the blue cities in this past election trended towards Donald Trump if they didn't go for Donald Trump, of course. So everybody has to be looking at their district saying, where are my constituents? And then you are supposed to go vote based on the constituency, not some sort of allegiance to party. But if there is something that a Republican House will vote for, that a Republican majority in the Senate, maybe a few Democrats here and there in the Senate as well, will vote for, it's got to get done. And it's got to get done immediately before anybody starts thinking about their next election.
How excited are you that one of the main topics we keep hearing and have for over a month now, and we probably will for another month, is that the top priority of possibly the entire Congress, let alone the executive branch, is to cut spending. Well, really, to cut everything. Like, that's the theme of the entire administration right now, is cut, 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 cut. I couldn't be more thrilled that it is.
It'll show a quick measure. I mean, especially if we're talking about the thought of moving towards a balanced budget or a balanced budget amendment of some sort, it's a lot easier to get there when you're talking about cutting spending. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, maybe that's even something that is a possibility. There are possibilities in front of us that have not been in front of us in the amount of time that I've been sitting in a chair behind a microphone doing this.
Is a balanced budget amendment on the agenda?
I don't know if it's something that's always talked about, but I don't understand why you would be trying to cut $2 trillion in spending, which is what Trump said in his press conference yesterday, if you weren't getting to the point where, I mean, we in our lifetime, we've had presidents who have had surpluses.
Mm-hmm.
And how much more are we taxing now? Didn't Clinton have a surplus?
He might have for a time. George W. Bush did for a time before 9/11.
If there's a surplus, well, there's not much time before 9/11.
There wasn't, but he did have one.
If you could get to the point where you could actually be talking about that, I mean, I feel like you have to be having a balanced budget. I mean, it seems like a pipe dream right now because we always assume nobody would ever talk about cutting spending. But if we're talking about cutting spending, you want to protect the future of this country. You want to make this country the most powerful. We're not just talking about like, oh, we want to be rich and wealthy and better than everybody else. No, we want to be safe and we want to be secure and we want our dollar to mean something. And we don't want to have to worry about debt that we have with other countries who don't wish us well and can utilize that in a dangerous way against us. And then seeing how Donald Trump is affecting other countries and nations, specifically Canada. On Outnumbered today on Fox News, they were talking. I haven't seen this story yet. Have you seen the story that Justin Trudeau's, there are people in his government administration who are resigning?
Oh, I haven't seen it come full fruition. Yeah. I saw that there was rumblings.
Well, let's take a quick break. I'm going to give you that story when we come back. Also, there is a press conference that is taking place on the Madison, Wisconsin school shooting. We're going to get you the details of that as soon as that press conference concludes. We don't want to carry the whole press conference, but we do want to give you those updates as they happen. So stick around for that. I feel like the tentacles of the Donald Trump win, the mentality of MAGA, the conservative, what I would venture to say, and maybe some would disagree with me on this, common sense approach to living and existing is something that it's like if you're in a foreign country and you see America's doing it and they're like, well, they did it. We can now be bold enough to speak out loud that, yeah, we would actually like that here, too. How afraid have so many people been for so long to speak out with some common sense? I think it's back here in America and I think it's spreading across the globe. Let's take a quick break. We'll get you those updates when we come back. Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Should President-elect Trump get his whole cabinet confirmed? Yes or no? Let us know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. Let it be Christmas. Crash at my place, baby, you're right. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're grateful to be with you this afternoon. It's 1:45. Our YouTube live chat poll for today. Should President Trump elect get his whole cabinet confirmed, yes or no? Brad, when you think about everybody who is up for Senate confirmation, are you thinking blanket, if you had a vote in the Senate, would you blanket yes vote all of the nominees so far?
Yeah, as of right now, I would. I haven't found anything about any of them that I don't like. There are some that I don't know about, but, you know, if I were, like you were saying, if you're a senator, I would investigate. But there's nothing on the surface here that says, no, that person is a definite no for me, a non-starter, nothing like that.
Disqualified or unqualified.
Right.
Because I think that what a lot of people, if you're pushing back on one of these, you might be like, well, there's a better person you could use than the one that Trump picked. But that's not really the qualification. That's not really the, just because you think there's a better person for the job. I mean, I guess they can vote yes or no based on whatever they want. It's their vote. But I don't feel like any of them have disqualified themselves based on what I know about them so far.
There's a lot to be said to trusting Trump here. And I know that if I say that, a lot of people will just cringe. Like, oh, you just don't trust somebody with a blanket like that. But consider, this man was already president for 4 years.
I kind of agree, though.
And we watched what happened when he trusted people that weren't on his team. that were part of the Washington establishment. They, to some degree, at basically every agency that we know of, tried to undermine his presidency. And some actively, openly undermined his presidency. So him getting people in there that he trusts, I don't know all of them, but if he trusts them, I am inclined this time to say, you get what you asked for this time, sir.
Yeah, the Matt Gaetz one is a really good example of how one might have been disqualified based on what was in the ethics report. And I would have wanted to know the details of what was in the ethics report. We know that he was being pursued by the Justice Department, and then that investigation was dropped. So there was, for whatever particular reason, no charges filed against Matt Gaetz. And I think that that matters. But then you have an ethics report. And remember, you can do very unethical things that aren't also illegal. Should that matter if you're going to be the person who is then supposed to pursue justice as the Attorney General of the United States? I think that that matters. So, you know, I got to be honest, like, Matt Gaetz wouldn't get a blanket yes from me right now. I would want to hear the confirmation process to make that decision. So if he were in this still, I think it's not that I would say that he shouldn't be confirmed, but I'm too undecided on that one to say that he would be part of a, you know, blanket thumbs up.
He is a good example of us having to have that conversation, but the fact that he's not there does change the game. And he's not, and therefore I'm a yes on this poll, because if he were, you'd have to think about that a little bit more. But right now, I'm a yes.
You can go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote and tell us if you think President-elect Trump should get his whole cabinet confirmed, yes or no. We've got 212 votes right now. Get in there and have your voice be heard. You can leave a comment as well. Kurt says, yes, I'm not sure about all of them, but I really want to see what Trump can do if he gets all of his picks. Vicky says, I have questions on some, but nothing is permanent. So yes, he should get his whole full cabinet confirmed. Erica says, I hope he does get his whole cabinet confirmed. Are all of his picks solid gold? No, but they're leaps and bounds better than what is there now. I mean, that's something that we aren't really talking about specifically, but the dramatic turn that we take away from where the country has been headed in these past 4 years to, if you get the Trump slate in there as it is, every single direction that government can take our country is going to make a change.
I'm glad we're talking about this topic, because this is one that I've been hand-wringing a little bit over, not over the individuals themselves, but over this whole philosophy that we're going to reform the way the American established government is, the deep state, the permanent Washington, the agencies, whatever you want to call them. I am concerned, my hand-wringing comes from being concerned that it's just too deeply entrenched to really reform.
But there's only one way to find out. Try.
But that's exactly where I keep coming back to.
Yeah.
This is the only way we're going to know it, is to do it this way.
Well, we're going to continue to talk about this poll. Keep your comments coming in. I did want to give you the update from the Madison, Wisconsin, I think it's Abundant Life Christian School shooting that took place yesterday. They did give a press conference, and here is a little bit of an update from that press conference that had just taken place here just a few minutes ago.
There's going to be public debate about the motives and other aspects of this mass shooting. But let us remember this fact. Gun violence is the number one killer of children in this country. That's a legacy we cannot accept. We cannot accept that. Part of the reason I feel so pained by this tragedy is that mass shootings feel like something that's ominous and hovering, and we're all wondering where and when the next one is going to occur. And guess what? It happened here. It happened right here. And I am so proud of the folks that I work with at the county and that the mayor works with in the city, and our partners at the federal, state, and local level, and how it is that we've stepped up and responded to support people. Could we do better? Could we do different? I am sure. But did we do well? I am proud of the work that has been done in this community over the last 24 hours. And I assure you all today that we are going to continue to work like hell to stop future tragedies and to support our community that has been harmed by these actions. And for anyone that's out there listening, anywhere in this amazing world that we live, whether you're grieving or you're scared or you're angry or you're unsure or you're curious, take care of yourself, take care of the people who you love and whose lives you touch. Talk to someone, anyone. If you're not comfortable calling a number, there is someone in your life you can reach out to. No one is alone through this. We are strong in Dane County, and together we're going to get through this. And I know that there are questions that we all want answers to. And I am hopeful that we will have those answers sooner than longer. But please give us the time to do this right so that we can learn how to prevent this from happening in the future and support those that have been most impacted in our community. We are doing everything in our power at all levels in a collaborative way to prevent this type of pain from ever happening again in our community. Can I assure that? No, but we are going to work as best as we can to that end. So thank you to each of you for carrying these stories, for taking care of yourselves, and for delivering these messages to the people in our community that just want one more piece of information.
Fox News reports that this is their report on the shooter, a 15-year-old girl killed a teacher and a teen student in a shooting on Monday at a private Christian school in Madison, Wisconsin. Wounded six others, according to authorities. Natalie Rupnow was identified as the shooter who opened fire inside a study hall inside Abundant Life Christian School. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes said responding officers found Rupnow with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. She died on the way to the hospital. Police were speaking with Rupnow's father and other family members who were cooperating in searching Rupnow's home. He declined to offer additional details about the shooter, partly out of respect for the family. He lost someone as well, Barnes said of Rupnow's father. We're not going to rush the information. We'll take our time and make sure we do our due diligence. Barnes said officers responded just before 11 a.m. to a second grade student's 911 call reporting the shooting. Rupnow used a handgun in the shooting, according to Barnes, though he said police have yet to determine a motive for the attack. I don't know why, and I feel like if we did know why, we could stop these things from happening, he told reporters. The teacher and student that were killed in the shooting have not been identified. Barnes said that the six wounded in the shooting, two were students in critical condition, a teacher, and three students were also hospitalized with less serious injuries, and two of them were later released. Barnes said he did not believe that the school, which serves 200 students, according to the school's website, had a resource officer. It was also revealed that the school did not have metal detectors, but did have cameras and other security protocols. I can't really imagine a second grader calling 911 because of something like this. I don't even know, like, does a second grader have a cell phone? How does the second grader call 911 in a moment like this? 200 kids in a Christian school is probably about right, probably about average. Some are smaller, some might be a little bit larger, but there's stuff online about this shooter, and I always kind of assume that the stuff that is being shared online is somewhere near the truth, but I don't always take it to be 100% true. People keep wanting to know why these things are happening. I can say in previous shootings, we found out exactly why, because they tell you exactly why they participate in these shootings. And then if it doesn't fit the narrative, it just goes away. It just disappears from the conversation. And when we're talking about common sense re-entering the chat, so to speak, in the very near future, this has to be near the top of the list. The consistencies that we see from shooting to shooting to shooting, the mental health crisis that we have in our country, and the absolute ridiculous things that we're doing in the name of science and acceptance. We're breaking a generation of people from thinking along the lines of common sense. And then when we find out, oh, that did not go so well, we just don't talk about it. That's an outrage. And our kids are in danger. And we hear from this woman, I don't have the name of the person who is speaking there, she's at the press conference, but gun violence, okay. I'm not going to sit here and say we shouldn't talk about how guns are killing people, but why in the world wouldn't we talk about the people who are holding the guns? And how they got the guns? And if they evaded the rules that were put in place to begin with to have those guns? Can we talk about that maybe? What if it was for the sake of your child's life? Because that's surely what I'm thinking myself. We'll be right back.